Grace is yours, and peace through God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, previously on Exodus, when last we saw the Israelites, God, who had taken them out of their bondage in Egypt, was now delivering them from Pharaoh's pursuing armies through the Red Sea parted. After the people of Israel crossed through, God caused the waters to crash down on the chariots and the riders of Egypt, finally and incredibly liberating them from the power that would hold them captive. The events of today's reading took place a few weeks later. In that time, God has parted an ocean, delivered them sweet water in the desert, and despite all this, the people grumble. Under their enslavement in Egypt, they groaned. After their enemies were drowned, they danced and played instruments and sang praises to God, but now, in their freedom, they grumble. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt or even kill us there? There at least we had meat. This response from the people of Israel seems unimaginable, right? After all they had just seen God do, after the clear response to their prayers and their cries, how could they have such doubt? How could they desire to return to their enslavers? But perhaps it's not so strange. Have you ever begged to escape something, just to turn around and subject yourself to it all over again? I wager you have. If you're lucky, the thing holding you captive isn't too destructive. But many of us do this little two-step with people or substances or activities that would take our lives, figuratively or literally. Here's a pretty benign example from my own life. As many of you know, since I came to Mount Olivet, I've been racing, or more accurately, struggling to finish my dissertation, which I've finally done as of last week, as a matter of fact. But in the too many years it took me, there were many times where the very machine I needed to finish the project, my computer, made it practically impossible for me to finish the project. I'd be writing, and then I'd pause to think, and then I'd find myself robotically, automatically checking my email, and then Instagram, and then Twitter, and then back to Instagram or email, even though I just checked, and it's not possible that anyone had needed me so desperately in those intervening 12 seconds, and then maybe some random Googling, and then, and before I'd known it, my whole window for writing was gone. So I turned to a program, an internet blocker. It effectively shuts the internet off on your computer for an amount of time of your choosing, and appropriately, this program was called Freedom. With it enabled, if my mind and then my mouse wandered over to an internet window, a little green notice would pop up. Oops, you're free for another 30 minutes or 2 hours or whatever, it would say. And after a couple of green pop-ups, the idea is that you'll slowly stop wandering over there, gradually more and more free from the temptation. Except you know what I'd do? I'd Control-Alt-Delete Freedom. I'd shut it down, or I'd remove it, uninstall it from my computer if that's what it took. I'd spend time and make a concerted effort to unfree myself, to enter back into the captivity I loathed. In the language of the Israelites, I'd grumble, "Why didn't you just leave me on the internet and let my dissertation die here? At least I'm kind of entertained." I wish I didn't so often remind myself of Paul's confession from Romans 7. The good I would do, I do not. Instead, I do the evil I do not want. Stuck. My free will, not so free, ultimately. Maybe you can relate. So the Israelites, like so many of us in the centuries that followed, were stuck and grumbling, bound to things that would kill them, dismissive towards the one who would give them life and liberty. And what does God do with these twice rescued grumblers? God hears them and responds generously, in fact, abundantly. I want you to think back on a road trip you've taken with your kids, or search back through the years to when you were sitting in the back seat. What was the expected response when the grumbling started? We're hungry. Pull over. And now, what if the driver had just stopped once or twice already for your sake? Well, I'll tell you how it's likely to go in our little fun wagon. My wife, Molly, will go to her carefully, thoughtfully packed bag and pull out a little something, perhaps slightly squashed or crumbled, but none too worse for the wear, and pass it back. And are the backseat creatures delighted? No. But are they satisfied? No. But eventually they accept, and we keep rolling. But God hears this grumbling and responds with manna, with bread from heaven, and not just a little, not even just enough, more than enough, a bounty. The earth is covered, and God promises to cover the earth every morning, daily bread with each sunrise. And the glory of God is again revealed to the people. God hears us, knows us, as grumblers and backsliders, yes, and never abandons us to ourselves. The repeated mercy of God in Scripture is to save us over and over from ourselves when necessary, and it often is. Our lives, on a daily basis, are better, and our freedom is freer when we are able to recognize that fact, be grateful for it, and look to our future faithfully with God. Amen.